Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today our text is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17 is a verse that speaks about authority. Listen to what it says. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. So you have authorities in your life, I have authorities in my life, and we are to obey them that have the rule over us. We're to submit ourselves because they watch for our souls. They have to give account of their rule. And when we submit and they properly lead, then they can do it with joy, not with grief. It's always a grief to try to rule somebody that doesn't want to submit. And truly, the person for whom it is unprofitable is the person who refuses to submit to that authority. So we are to obey them that have the rule over us. We are under authority in our lives. Therefore, and we're going to talk about those authorities today, we are under, first of all, providential authority. Providential authority. We're going to look at a lot of scripture today, but it's so that you'll understand how the Bible applies what you're reading. In Daniel chapter 7, we find that when the Lord Jesus Christ is here ruling as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Daniel chapter 7 verse 27 says, "The kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom," that's speaking of Israel, "and all dominions shall serve and obey him." So the kingdoms during the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ are going to obey the authority of the Most High. Because that's the way it's supposed to be set up, and that's how the devil, you know, tempted Jesus Christ when he was in the wilderness. He said, "I have the power and glory of those, and I can give it to whomsoever I will. Worship me." But boy, the Lord's going to get a hold of that, and this thing is going to run right when Jesus Christ is in charge. Providential authority. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 27, the disciples are with the Lord Jesus Christ in a storm, and Jesus Christ is asleep. And so they wake Jesus Christ, and they say to him, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And he said, "Why are you afraid, O ye of little faith?" And then you know what he did? He rebuked the wind and the sea, and there was a calm. But the men marveled in Matthew 8:27, "What manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea," watch it, "obey him?" Nature obeys God. The kingdoms will obey God. In Mark chapter 1, verse 27, the people marveled because even the unclean spirits obey God. Now turn to Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, the apostles have been threatened not to preach in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they haven't stopped. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 28, the council of chief priests and rulers and scribes and Pharisees said, "Did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us." Then Peter, in verse 29, and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Now that's not putting our submission to God above our duty to be submissive to the other authorities in our lives. In this case, these men, this council, inserted themselves as an improper authority with an improper rule, and Peter said, we ought to obey God. You know what? You and I ought to obey God. If nature obeys God, if the unclean spirits obey God, if the kingdoms are going to obey God, we, as his children, who have been saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, must most definitely obey God. Now in the home, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, shows us the proper order. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. So the proper order of authority is this: God, then the Lord Jesus Christ, and we see that he was submissive to the Lord God. He said, I do always those things that please him. Even Paul said, I have lived in all good conscience before God to this day. God, Christ, watch it, the man, and then his wife. That's the proper order, and each must obey his proper authority. You say, well, I don't think that a wife ought to obey her husband. Well, then you're going to see chaos. Because the greatest need that the husband has is to rule, and the responsibility for that is laid to the wife. She is to submit herself to her own husband and be in subjection under her own husband. His duty meets her greatest need. He is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, because her greatest need is to be loved. Now in Titus chapter 2, the aged women are teaching the younger women in verse 5 to be obedient to their own husbands. In a household, if a wife is not obedient to her husband, then there's chaos, and it's going to show up in the children. And it's also going to show up in the decisions that are made in the household, because the man can't follow Christ if his wife is not, for the family, if his wife's not going to follow him. If he ends up giving in for his wife's sake, Christ's not leading the family. She is. We are under providential authority. We're also under biblical authority. Biblical authority. In Exodus chapter 5, verse 2, Moses and Aaron go before Pharaoh, and they say, you know what God said? He said for you to let his people go. Let my people go. And Pharaoh said, I don't know the Lord. I don't know the Lord, and I don't recognize his voice. I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. Who is the Lord, he says, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? His voice, that's his words. And he said, I'm not going to obey him. Pharaoh forgot something. He's a king, and kings are supposed to be in submission and subjection to God, who gave them the authority to be kings. He said, I'm not going to listen to him. And look what happened to his country. He destroyed his country because he would not obey the voice of the Lord. Isn't that an amazing thing? And he also destroyed himself completely and all of his army. Now in Exodus chapter 19, right before the Lord speaks from Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments, in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, here's what he says. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice, all right, those are his words. If you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, those are his words, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So they were to obey his words. And he said, if you do, then you'll be my peculiar treasure, and other things that went along with that blessing as well. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, and look at verses 27 and 28. The Lord said in verse 26, I'm going to set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. Now there's a blessing for obedience. But then there's a curse in verse 28 if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. You see that difference? You obey God, there's a blessing in it. If you don't obey God, there's a curse in it. You see, there are terrible consequences for not obeying God. Turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 20 through 24. This is Saul speaking to Samuel. And Saul says, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way which the Lord sent me. Samuel said, because he didn't obey the Lord, they kept back sheep and oxen and chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed. Samuel said in verse 22, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Well, why is that? Because when you do not obey the words of God, then you put yourself under another authority. You know who the authority is that you put yourself under? The devil. Therefore, rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. Why did Saul do that? Because he feared the people and obeyed their voice. Verse 24. You can't obey the wrong authority and get away with it. You must obey the words of God, the biblical authority. You know, in your life, you are going to deal with sin until you die. We all do. And one of the best ways to have victory over sin in your life on a daily basis for those periods of time when you do is by obeying the truth, obeying the words of God. In Romans chapter 6, verses 16 and 17, Paul says, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart. What did you obey? That form of doctrine which was delivered you. What he's telling you is you've got to get in this Bible and obey from the heart the doctrine of the words of God. And that's how you walk when you're obedient to that, not serving sin. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. If sin repeatedly over and over again is a problem in your life, get into this Bible and obey from the heart that doctrine, that form of doctrine which was delivered you. It's right here. That's your biblical authority. You will not do well by rejecting the words of the Lord. You'll be destroyed. So we're under providential authority. We're under God. We're under biblical authority. We are to obey the words of God. And I'm going to tell you something. If you're not reading your Bible, there is no way you are under biblical authority, because you don't even know what the Bible says. There's no way that God can communicate to you through the words of God those things he wants you to do. It is impossible to be under biblical authority and not know what the Bible says. I mean, S-A-Y-S, N-W-O-R-D-S. I'm not talking about the stories, I'm talking about the words. Okay, next, we are under parental authority. Parental authority. Back in the Old Testament, in Deuteronomy chapter 21, this parental authority was so demanded, so commanded, that if a child would not submit himself to that authority, he was to be killed. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18, 19, 20, and 21. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother. Notice both of them, both parents, mom and dad. And that when they have chastened him, so they did the correction, will not hearken unto them. Then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of his city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of his city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard, and all the men of his city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put away evil from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now that's the Old Testament way of dealing with that rebellion. You command them, you chasten them. If they don't respond, you kill them. And that's a, you look at that and you go, wow, wow. Yeah, wow. Most of us, including myself, we wouldn't be here right now if that had been the rule back when we were growing up. Why? The reason we looked at that passage of Scripture was to show you that that is the importance that God puts upon parental authority. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and look at verses 1 through 3. There are good consequences for obeying your parents. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. It's not the first commandment, but it's the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. He promises long life and a good life, well with thee, for obeying your parents. In Jeremiah, we read about the sons of Rechab. They obeyed their father even after he was dead. And, I mean, God blessed those men, used them as an example to the rest of Israel for obedient children, because Israel was not being obedient. Now turn to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30. Look at verse 17. Parental authority. Proverbs 30:17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. There are bad consequences for disobeying your parents. Listen, you will be spiritually blind if you just apply this. Those ravens, those eagles, typify unclean spirits. I mean, literally, I mean, he's giving you a literal proverb here, but we know in the Bible those kinds of fowls, ravens and eagles, typify unclean spirits. And it says, going to pick that eye out and eat it. That man will be spiritually blind. He won't know where he is for failing to obey his father and despising to obey his mother. He will not find his way spiritually because of that. Now, let's make a very, very important clarification here. There is a major difference between authority and control. There is a major difference between authority and control. Authority establishes the rule which the subjects to that authority must obey by submission to that authority. So in the military, you have a commander and then you have subordinates. And he gives the command and the subordinates are to follow. What happens if the subordinates don't follow? Kick them out of the army. Eventually, I mean, you discipline them, and if they don't respond to the discipline, out. Why? Because they don't know how to take command. Authority established the rule which the subjects must obey by submission to the authority. If the subject won't submit, then he's supposed to be corrected, and if he won't respond to the correction, he's out. Control, on the other hand, takes submission out of the hands of the subject and runs his life rather than rules his life. You know what it does? When you try to assume control of your child, you will exhaust yourself. This exhausts the one who is trying to control and causes resentment in the one who is being controlled, because nobody wants to be a dog on a leash. Listen, think very carefully about what you just heard. Very, very important distinction between authority and control. Now, here's some things to consider, and then we're going to look at some other authorities in our lives. Very important things to consider. First of all, a child is under the authority of his parents until he is no longer subject to them. I'm speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 2. After he was 12 years old and he left to go back with his mother and Joseph after discussions with the doctors there at the temple, the Bible says in verse 51 of Luke chapter 2, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. Well, it never said he was not subject unto them, right? Now, when he enters the ministry, he's doing everything God wants him to do. But up until that time, which was about 29 and a half years old, apparently he was still subject unto his parents. All right, so a child is under the authority of his parents until he's no longer subject to them. That is when he is the head of his own household. That's very important. So even when the adult children get a little bit older, you know, the major decisions regarding marriage and so forth, mom and dad need to be involved in that. Now, when a very young child is not responding to correction under authority, then you need to consider some things. In other words, you may have a situation where your parent, young child, the very young child, is not responding to your correction under your authority. But what do you do? Here's some things to do. Number one, make sure that mom and dad are on the same page. Often the child is confused because the commands are different. One is lenient, the other is strict. The child doesn't know what to do with that. All right, number two, make sure that you are under your authority. In other words, if a very young child is not responding to authority properly, often it's because the husband is not obeying God or the wife is not obeying her husband. So if you're not under your authorities, you cannot be over those that are supposed to be under you. So you have to make sure of that. The third thing to consider, make sure that your commands are very clear and succinct. In other words, oftentimes the child just doesn't understand your command or doesn't understand your expectation. You haven't made it clear enough or succinct enough where it's something that he or she can do. So if that could be the problem. Another reason why a very young child might not be responding to correction under authority could be that you are not sufficiently and correctly enforcing your commands and chastening the disobedience consistently. In other words, if you say, pick that up, and you don't enforce it, then your command means nothing. So sufficiently enforce your commands, correctly enforce your commands, and chasten disobedient consistently. Boy, I know I got something bad coming to me if I've done this. Your child knows that, and you ought to be there to make sure that your actions are consistent with your child's expectation. Because why? Inconsistency is often the problem. So those are four things to look at. Now, finally, I guess I could say it may be that the child is rebellious. And you know what you're going to have on your hands then? A lot of grief, because there's no good way to deal. Once you've seen this rebellion in the heart of the child and it's there, it's going to be a grief to you. There's not happiness in that, no matter what happens, until that child is willing to submit to authority. All right, so we're under providential authority, we're under biblical authority, we're under parental authority. Let me just quickly, because of the time that we have left, deal with the other three authorities. You're under spiritual authority. You're under spiritual authority. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 19, Samuel was the spiritual authority for Israel, and Israel refused to obey the voice of Samuel. They got out from underneath their spiritual authority. In Acts chapter 7, verses 37 through 39, Stephen is preaching that wonderful sermon, and we see there, and he affirms, that Moses was the spiritual authority for Israel when they got out into the wilderness, and Israel would not obey. What'd they do? They thrust Moses from him, said, make us gods and take us back to Egypt. You're under spiritual authority. You have spiritual teachers, Proverbs chapter 5, verse 13, and spiritual leaders, elders that rule well, pastors. God has given you a pastor. You say, well, I don't go to church. I don't have a pastor. Well, if you can't get to church, that's one thing. But if you can and you just don't, then you know what? You can't be, you know, some people, I don't want to say you, but some people can't be pastored. In other words, they never find a church. They say, well, something's wrong with this pastor. Well, something's wrong with this church. Well, something's wrong. You know what the problem is? You can't find a place to fit because you can't be pastored. And if you can't be pastored, then there's no spiritual authority over you. You say, well, I just follow God. You know, I've been in this thing a long time, and I have watched the work of pastors in cooperation with God's work in the lives of the folks in the church, It is an amazing thing. You read Acts chapter 20, beginning with verse 28, and read down to about verse 31, and you see how Paul shows you that thing provides a spiritual oversight for you that God put in place. And if the man's not usurping that authority, it is beneficial for you and the entire church. Spiritual authority. We're also under governmental authority. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 23, Solomon was the governmental authority for Israel as an example. In Titus chapter 3, Paul is writing to Titus to give instruction to the churches. And you know what he says? Titus chapter 3, verse 1, he says this, "Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work." We have governmental authority, and we are to obey. You see that in Romans 13. You see that again in 1 Peter chapter 2, I believe it is, and other places. We are to be subject to the ordinances of men. And then finally, you have an occupational authority. Servants, obey your masters, and you obey masters in the same way, like your employer, you obey them as if you are working for the Lord Jesus Christ himself. I've got a friend of mine in a bad business situation right now, doing a lot of excess work for the boss that he has. He's waiting on God, and God, I know God's using this to prepare him, and it's a very tough situation, but you know what? He has given that man the best work that he has because he is still serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? He recognizes he has an occupational authority. Let me summarize all of this by saying this one thing, kind of in conclusion. Listen very carefully. You will never be over those who are under you until you are under those who are over you. Let me say it one more time. You will never be over those who are under you until you are under those who are over you. And remember that. Remember that. We are to obey them that have the rule over us and submit ourselves. And may God bless you when you do. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.